If prayer is not your highest priority and your highest passion, that's going to supernaturally change after seeing this show. Next. Jim Maxim was growing up in a dysfunctional home of alcoholics. Chaos was normal. No peace, no direction. But when he was 15, his mother rededicated her life to Jesus, and he began to witness a new normal at home. For his mom, at least. But it wasn't a new norm for you.
No, not at all, Sid. When my mother rededicated her life to Christ, things changed. The atmosphere in our home changed. She started to be serious about this relationship she had with her God. Somehow, it was as if she was really talking to him every day back in her room. We used to hear her back there praying for us. So things changed radically.
But for you, your life was still a wreck. What was going on?
Yes. Well, I started hardcore drugs at 15, and I continued to drink. And so by the time I was 18, Sid, I was a full-blown alcoholic.
Well, there is a date in history. It's your date. It shouldn't happen to anyone, but it happened to Jim. December 27th, 1971.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I was completely drunk at an employee Christmas party, so drunk my friend had to drive me home. His girlfriend drove his car and got me to my house and handed me the keys and said, "Max, I'll see you in the morning." I said, "Yeah, whatever." And they left, and I hid on the side of the house until they left. And the reason for that, Sid, is when you're an alcoholic, you have something driving you. You have something pushing you. You don't drink just to drink. You drink to get totally obliterated. And so as they left, I got back in my car and went out for some more. And I was at a red light in my town, and I had an old 8-track tape player in my glove box. And I leaned over to change a tape, and one fell on the floor. And as I bent over to pick it up, I was so drunk, Sid, I passed out. I saw a car coming at me, then I passed out again. And they told me my vehicle went up an embankment and came down and hit a telephone pole. And I flew through the passenger side of the windshield. And after my face and head went through the glass, my shoulders hit the glass, and then the weight of my body dragged me back down in across the jagged glass, lacerating my face like a pack of razor blades. They said that my face was on the passenger floor compartment, and when the cops came to get me, they braced themselves by putting their foot on the floor to pick me up. The cop told me later, he said, "Maxim, when I put my foot in the car, the blood actually came up over the top of my shoe. Whoa. You had lost so much blood." He said, "We got you into the ambulance, and by the time we pulled you out of the car at the hospital, my partner looked at me and said, 'Forget it, it's too late, he's dead.' I don't remember this, but they said, I looked at him and said, 'No, I'm still with you.' So they got me in the emergency room, and they couldn't find a plastic surgeon at 2 a.m, so they just got this intern to started pulling shards of glass out of my eyes and my face. They called my mother. You can imagine a mother getting a phone call at 1:30, 2 a.m. And they said, "Mrs. Maxim, your son Jim's been in an accident." And she said, "Well, can I come down in the morning?" You see, Sid, for her, this was nothing new. I'd just gotten out of jail for minor stuff, and between my brothers and myself, well, this was nothing new.
I mean, not only was your father an alcoholic, but your brothers, some of them were alcoholics.
Yeah, yes, it's alcohol, and 5 out of 8 of us eventually became alcoholics. It just ran in our family. And so my mother jumped in a car by herself, and she got to the hospital. And they said, "Ma'am, your son at this point has fallen into a coma. The amount of glass in his left eye, we just don't know if he'll ever see again out of it. He has a cut across the top of his skull, it's very deep. The possibility of brain damage is very real. His jaw was a compound fracture, literally came through his skin. And the intern is in there now, pulling shards of glass out of his eyes." Hmm. And so, you know, they said, "Ma'am, there's not much you can do now. You may as well come back in the morning." So Sid, my mother used to tell me, "Jimmy, when I got in the car, Satan was relentless with me that night. The enemy of my soul just continued to hammer me and hammer me by saying to me, 'Where's this God of yours now, Isabel? This all-powerful Jesus Christ you claim to serve, where's he at, Isabel? Tell me about him. Look at your husband. Look at Jack. Look at Jim. Tell me about it, Isabel. Where's he at when you need him the most?" So you can imagine the discouragement, the fear, the doubt, the unbelief that Satan was trying to to throw upon her.
Please,
Sid, she told me that when she got home, she just fell on her knees next to her bed, where we had heard her cry out so often before God for us. Sid, she told me she just started crying, Jesus, please don't let him be blind. Jesus, please, when's it going to end? Jesus, please, when are you going to do something? You can imagine a mother's cry. But Sid, it was then she told me that the Holy Spirit came alongside of her and said, Isabel, that's enough now. Isabel, that's enough. Let's begin to praise God, Isabel, because he's holy and he's worthy. Isabel, praise God. So as hard as that is, Sid, in the midst of a crisis like that, my mother said, Jimmy, I broke out in praise. I broke out in worship and adoration to my God. I started to see the scriptures like a movie screen in front of me. The Holy Spirit was putting in front of me to quote back to God that he is holy, that he's righteous, that he's true, that he can do anything. And she said, I just began to worship and worship him. And Sid, she used to go like this to me. She said, Jimmy, it was like this, that when I was praising God, I saw his index finger come down and touch your left eye. And when I saw that, Jimmy, I knew you were going to be okay. I knew that God was doing something. But Sid, what she didn't know was that as I was in my coma and I was falling through darkness, and Sid, it was as real as me talking with you right now. I reached out my arms on both sides, Sid, to kind of break the fall. I was looking for a railing or something, but there was nothing there. And as I kept falling, I was completely scared. I'm a big guy, Sid, and I could usually take care of myself, but I knew this time I had gone one step too far. I was in a place, Sid, that was not meant for mankind, and I knew it. I just didn't know what it was. I had never read the Bible. I'd never been to a prayer meeting or a Christian church as we know it. I didn't know that there were wicked spirits in high places, demonic forces that were living inside of me. I had no knowledge of that. But, Sid, as I was falling through darkness, my fall stopped, and I was in like a black room, and I looked over on my left-hand side, and for the first time in my life, I saw two creatures that were standing right there, and I knew they were going to do something to me. I had no idea they were demons. I had never understood that concept. How could I? I'd never read the Bible, not exposed to that, but those two things, whatever they were real, and they were going to hurt me. There was a pull, like a magnetic pull, trying to take me back behind this wall back there. Whether it was hell, I don't know. But I know they wanted to hurt me. I had no understanding, Sid, but those were the demons I learned later on as I studied the Bible that were living inside of me. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. Well, I had given them every place, so they had every right. They had a claim on my soul. And Sid, as my mother was home praying for me, as she said that she saw this God's index finger touch me, as she was home crying out to God for me, the value, the power of prayer. Jude tells us, have mercy on those who doubt, snatching others as though taking them out of the fire. That's what she was doing through prayer, Sid. That's why prayer is so powerful. And Sid, as she was praying for me, it was then that Jesus came to me. But as he came to me, the essence of the discussion, what he didn't say is what shocked me the most, Sid.
What?
Why should I help you now? You loser, you fool, you laughed at me.
You didn't say that.
No. You know, I might have said that. You mocked your mother, you mocked me, my people. But Sid, it was like a liquid sea of love when I looked at Jesus. And he said to me, Jimmy, you've been playing around long enough. Do you want to continue? And I said, Jesus, I don't. But I prayed that prayer in jail. Get me out of this jam and I'll go straight. Well, here I am again. I said, Jesus, what do I got to do? What must I do, Jesus? What do I got to do? And Sid, Jesus looked at me and said, Jimmy, if you ask me to cleanse you, and if you ask me to forgive you, I will, son, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, Jim, I will be your best friend. I will give you the power to overcome the drugs and the alcohol. Jimmy, I will walk with you all the days of your life, but you have to ask me. I won't barge my way into your life. Me. And I said to Jesus, Jesus, please help me. I knew I was screwed up, Sid. I knew I was. I said, Jesus, please help me. Please forgive me. And Sid, the moment I said that, the interesting thing about those two things, those demons, They froze in their tracks when Jesus showed up. They stopped dead. When Jesus came in, it was as if they knew who he was. I know what it was like to be in a street fight and friends show up at the right time. Well, Sid, when they were coming to get me, and Jesus, my mother's interceding for me. She's calling down the love and the power of God upon my life. Jesus came to me. He heard her cry. They froze in their tracks. But the moment I said, Jesus, please help me, they vanished. They vanished. They left.
Now, when you came out of your coma, what were the first words you said that your mother knew something was up?
Sid, my mother told me, Jimmy, when you came out of your coma a few days later, Dad and I were standing next to you. Your jaw was like that. My jaw was busted wired shut. But she said, Jimmy, the first words that you muttered through your broken jaw was, Mom, Jesus is here. Jesus is here.
Wow, can you picture his mother? I understand. She was 5'2"
yes.
Of the fire of God.
Yes.
Now, it didn't take long for Jim to discover the one thing that Satan wanted from him the most. He wants it from you, too. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Call now and get Jim Maxim's powerful book, Face to Face with God, and his two anointed devotional books, 21 Days of Deeper Prayer and 21 Days of Breakthrough Prayer, plus his interactive devotional Breakthrough Prayer audio CD series, Releasing the Power of Prayer. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $39. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9772.
God snatched me from the jaws of death. I was 1 yard from hell. All of a sudden, Jesus appeared to me, and he made me an offer that I couldn't refuse.
You will receive Jim Maxim's powerful book, Face to Face with God. Through his book, you too will realize that God's supernatural love, power, purpose, and joy is available to you, no matter what dark times you may be facing. Plus, you will also receive Jim's two anointed devotional books, 21 Days of Deeper Prayer and 21 Days of Breakthrough Prayer, and Jim's interactive devotional Breakthrough Prayer audio CD series, Releasing the Power of Prayer. Through this devotional package, you will learn how to consistently experience an intimate relationship with God, be showered with God's supernatural presence, begin to experience the Holy Spirit flowing through you into the lives of those around you, be transformed from the inside out, begin to flow in the supernatural power of agreement to receive your miracle, healing, and your breakthrough. At the end of each devotional reading, you can listen to the daily message on the audio CDs. Experience the power of the Holy Spirit sweeping through your circumstances with the supernatural breakthroughs you need in your life and in the lives of those you know. Don't miss out on getting Jim Maxim's powerful book, Face to Face with God, and his two anointed devotional books, 21 Days of Deeper Prayer and 21 Days of Breakthrough Prayer, plus his interactive devotional Breakthrough Prayer audio CD series, Releasing the Power of Prayer. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $39. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9772. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9772 or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
So Jim, you're out of the hospital. You joined the Marines. It was kind of a family thing to be in the military. And you're at the bus station, and you find what you called a secret weapon. It was almost waiting for you. Tell me about that.
Yes, Sid. My dad dropped me off the bus station in downtown Pittsburgh to go to Parris Island. And I was sitting there, and I looked over, and I saw these little black books sitting there. I said, well, why not? What are they? And I picked it up. And here it was a Bible, a New Testament, Gideon, New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, and one of the small ones. And it's in the front of it, it said, when afraid, when lonely, when leaving home, turn to page such and such. Well, it guided me over to this book called Revelation. chapter 3, verse 20.
Oh, after seeing those demons, my God.
And I'd never read the Bible in my life. So it guided me over to this book, Revelation 3, verse 20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." And that's what Jesus basically said to me, the essence of our discussion when I was unconscious. Then it guided me over to Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you can be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made, resulting in salvation. And so I understood that for the first time in my life, this little book had some kind of power in it because I was weeping. The Spirit of God had just overpowered. I grabbed that Bible, Sid. I put it on my chest in that bus station, and I said, "God, get these words in me. Almighty God, get them in me. I know for the first time in my life, I've got a track to run on. I've got some kind of supernatural thing going on in this book."
Well, right now, I want you to look in the camera and help people have that same encounter you had right now.
Jesus Christ loves you so much. He gave His life for you on that cross. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus Christ is all sufficient. It washes all our sins away. If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you've been around Christianity, if you've been around Christian, but if you have never asked Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, say this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I come to you as a sinner,
as a sinner,
and I confess all of my sin, God,
and I confess all of my sin,
and I'm asking you to cleanse me and forgive me,
and I'm asking you to cleanse me and forgive me.
Break the power of sin in my life.
Break the power of sin in my life.
Forgive me, Jesus.
Forgive me, Jesus.
And help me to love you.
And help me to love you.
In your holy and precious name I pray.
In your holy and precious name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, "Go into your secret place and close the door, and your Father that sees in secret will reward thee openly." Jesus used to come to me early in the morning. He would come to me. God the Father would say, "Jimmy, come. Jimmy, I'm here. Jimmy, come. Come away with me." In other words, "Jimmy, get out of bed. Jimmy, I want to speak to you. I want to love you. I want to teach you things that you don't know anything about. Jimmy, if you'll come with me, I'll begin to speak to your heart." And so, Sid, I started to get up when the Lord would come into my room. Even in the Marines, I would get up and I would just walk out in the woods somewhere. I would get away. I would take my Bible. And I didn't know anything about Christ. How could I? But Jesus started to speak to me. And then I read that little story that Jesus said, "It is expedient for you that I go away, because unless I go, the Holy Spirit can't come." And then I started to say, "The Holy Spirit, what do you mean?" And then the Holy Spirit, I learned, was a person. Not an it, not a thing, but a person. And so as I began to talk to the Holy Spirit, He began to talk to me. He began to teach me the Scriptures. He began to write the Scriptures on the door of my heart and in my mind. I was having like, I could see the Scriptures in front of me. And as I was telling the guys in the Marines, I'd look at my face was totally distorted. I had to have 6 months of plastic surgery, which is a miracle, don't have time to get into today, that the Marines did. But they'd look at my distorted face and ask me. And I knew why they were asking, because the Holy Spirit had set that time up. I didn't even know what witnessing was, Sid. All I knew was I had to tell them about my best friend, Jesus. God wants to shower you with His love, His blessings. Prayer is the greatest gift God's given to me next to my salvation, the intimacy with Him. He wants to love me. He picks me up in His arms every day and infuses me with His power, with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Why? Because He says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will I give good things to those that ask?" Prayer is simply my fellowship with my dad. Prayer is my fellowship with Jesus and my fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the three of them every day.
Jim, the most important thing for a believer, according to the Bible, is prayer. But most believers don't spend much time in prayer. They say it's for the people that are, quote, intercessors.
Yes.
Would you tell us why? And before you even say that, the one thing that Satan wants from us the most is what will happen in prayer. What is the one thing Satan wants the most?
Satan wants the number one thing the most is our intimacy with our dad. I've been saved now for 50 years, Sid. And he has kept me for 50 years from drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. Why, Sid? Because the one thing I do daily is I answer the call when my dad comes knocking. Sid, every morning they come in my room. My three best friends, every morning. I know that I'm a sinner. I know the wickedness in my heart. I can't serve God unless He enables me. But every day, Sid, He's waiting to infuse me with a fresh touch of His power. Every day He's waiting to speak to me, to talk to me, to love me. Why wouldn't I want to fellowship with God, the creator of the universe? Why wouldn't I want Him to ask Him to get into my business dealings? Why wouldn't I want wisdom and knowledge and understanding beyond my capability? He's only God. He's only the creator of the universe, and He wants to fellowship with me. Jesus wants to love me. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with me. Why would I turn that down, Sid? If you want real supernatural power in your life, then pray. It's the one thing that Satan does not want you to do, because he knows when a child of the Most High cries out to Almighty God, he has no answer for that. Prayer is the answer to all of your issues.
I have to tell you, he walks in the most amazing miracles. Tell us a few of the things that have happened to you.
Well, Sid, I was in a prison once. The first thing that comes to my mind is this experience in prison. And so as I was walking up to the prison, I had my notes with me, and the Holy Spirit said, Jimmy, put your notes down. And I knew enough. I've been walking with God long enough to know, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's going to be great. And so I put my notes down, and I got up to the pulpit, and I just started praying. As I was interceding and praying, I said this to the guys. I said, guys, what you did isn't who you are. What you did isn't who you are. You're here to pay the price for what you did, which you have to do, but what you did isn't who you are. Almighty God loves you just the way you are. And I said, today is the day you don't have to go back to that cell block with the guilt and the fear and the doubt and the unbelief and the voices from Satan telling you you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything. There's nothing good about you. There's never been anything good about you. No. I said, today is the day you can receive salvation and cleansing and healing and get rid of that guilt, because God, the Holy Ghost, is here to touch you. And Sid, it was as if I said, the first one up here gets a get out of jail free card. Sid, I'm telling you, I said, if you want to receive this Christ I'm talking about, come forward. Sid, there was about 150, 200 guys in the chapel, and it was as if there was a herd. They ran to the altar, Sid, ran.
This all comes from his prayer life. If you read and listen to his materials, you'll get that impartation. But I need you to pray over everyone right now that they have the same hunger for prayer, the same hunger for intimacy that you have. Look in the camera and pray that.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. First and foremost, forgive us, God. Cleanse us. Cleanse us, God, please, for taking you for granted, for not understanding your holiness. But Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for forgiving us. And now, Lord, impart to us a fresh presence from you. Please, God, every one of my brothers and sisters listening, God, you see our cry. You see the emptiness of our soul. Father, your word says that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Father, please release the power of your Holy Spirit upon us right now. Please, God, don't let anybody leave here the way they came. Allow the Holy Spirit to fall amongst us right now. God, we worship you and praise you. Praise him. Begin to praise him. Praise God. Worship him. Praise him. Praise him and worship him. Praise him.
Pray for deliverance right now.
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, you said the weapons of our warfare aren't natural, man-made, or carnal, but divine weapons for the pulling down of demonic strongholds. So God, according to your word, we just quote your word back to you. God, you know everyone represented here today, everyone that has a loved one, a friend, a daughter, niece, nephew, husband, whatever it is, God, you see that person right now. Father, we're asking you right now in the name of Jesus, please, God, allow the Holy Spirit to break the bondage of alcohol, drugs, pornography, sex, whatever it is, Almighty God, let that sweet presence of your Spirit minister to them right now. God, let them know that this day they've received their deliverance. Let them know, God, like December 27th, 1971 was mine. Let them know that right now, God, this has been broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, we bind you and all the demons of hell. We bind you right now by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rebuke you over these souls. In Jesus' name we pray.